You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic and Nathan with you on a Football Tuesday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. ESPN 850 WKNR. It's a good day here, at least from the standpoint of stuff to talk about, and that's what we got for you. Is it a good week for the Browns? We'll see how it all plays out, and if any changes occur, and we'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, your calls at 216-578-0850. Phil in Cleveland is with us now. Hey, Phil.
Hi, guys. Look, you know, I'm not an expert at football. I mean, you know, I'm 60 years old, watched the Browns fizzled and whatever else they want to call it. It just can't they just make a decision on what's going to be the best for the team? I mean, you watch this Brandon Whedon go out there every week throwing who knows what he's throwing at or what he's doing. I mean, do you have to be a mental giant to figure out this guy is not making it here? I mean, what, do you have to go through a whole season to figure out, yep, he wasn't the guy? You know, I mean.
I hear you. I hear you. Some things decide themselves. And my take on this was the whole, just to get to a point where the head coach, Rob Chudzinski, says publicly yesterday that he's considering the change, that it's being at least talked about, is a step that we didn't see before. We saw that as progress in this discussion because the week before it was nothing's going to change. But Whedon left him no choice. This had to at least get to this point based on six quarters of bad play.
It's tough. It is tough to watch it as a person who knows football, who doesn't know football. Anybody can see that Brandon Whedon is struggling. This offense is struggling. He seems to lack the internal clock that most quarterbacks have that say, hey, you need to get rid of the ball soon. It has been a very, very difficult offense to watch the last six quarters. And the first half, really the second quarter against Detroit, was actually pretty good and gave you some hope. And Brandon Whedon will do that for you. If you were to put together and to slice up a Brandon Whedon highlight tape, he can do some things that are impressive. He has a great arm. He can drive the ball down on those 20-yard ins and those 20-yard outs as well as anybody in the league. But right now, the overall body of his work says to me, he's not the answer. That's why I think Brian Hoyer was appealing. Not that, you know, he was a rookie. He was at least young. He was somebody that you could say, okay, let's see what we have here. We can grow with him. He could at least be either a transitional quarterback to our quarterback of the future, or he can be our backup and help implement the system here. Jason Campbell's, at this point, a journeyman quarterback who, regardless of what he does, is not the answer for the future, right, period, for this team, and is not even really a guy that you would want as the Band-Aid quarterback for your team to start off 2014. Nobody wants that. So the problem is there really isn't much of a solution. The good news, Browns fans, is this. This is the last season you are going to be going through. Who's the quarterback? Is this guy the guy? Et cetera, et cetera. This regime will be drafting a quarterback in the 2014 NFL draft that will be the face of this franchise and hopefully be as successful as everybody here wants him to be for the next few years, for the foreseeable future. This is the last year of that. You have nine more games of this type of head scratching, this type of, you know, mind numbing performance as I see it. And hopefully, I'm pretty sure you agree with that.
I agree wholeheartedly because
it doesn't help us for this year.
It's back to my analogy of the storms. And I know there can be and probably likely will be more storms ahead. But I do think this particular storm of the quarterback death watch, which is kind of what it is,
right,
is going to be over. And we need to see it go away. Now, we don't know what that future will bring. We have no idea who this next guy will be. I don't think this organization does either. It's impossible, really, to target somebody now when you have no idea where you're drafting, really. Even if you have ammunition to move up in the draft, you're still not entirely sure who you're moving up for. This was, I thought, a weekend of college football that put more question marks on some of the elite quarterbacks, the so-called elite
Bad
that we're talking
Boyd,
about, right?
I'll tell you that.
It was not a good week. It was not a week that made you feel great. You start with Teddy Bridgewater on Friday night, too. I didn't see a lot there. I had a couple of people ask me today, am I the only one who doesn't really think that there's something special with that guy?
I said, well, I agree.
There could be, but I said, based on what you've seen, the evidence you've seen so far, you got questions there. And then Johnny Manziel, what is that all about? I mean, there's all of those things are sort of up in the air and not really formulated enough for me to say, yep, they're targeting this guy. And again, if they like player X, how do you get him? And we don't know that. So all of those questions remain, and they're still a long way off. As far as this season is concerned, and this is where we bring up the Josh Gordon discussion again, because how does that affect what you're going to do at the quarterback position? Whether you're sticking with Brandon Whedon or going with Jason Campbell or bringing in quarterback X, who I don't think you're going to do to make a starter, the guy who's available out there, the Vince Youngs and those names that are floating around, you're not doing that guy any favors if Josh Gordon isn't on your football team, because I don't know who the heck's catching a pass. I really don't.
Right.
Torrey Gurley? Is that really what we're going to look at? It's Torrey Gurley and Greg Little show?
No, that just means clearly they're going to have to draft a quarterback. They're going to have to draft a receiver.
No, I was talking about these nine games.
Oh, these nine games?
The nine games that still have to be played. The four home games that still have to be played.
You think the offense has been bad now? I mean, it would go... Remember how bad it was the first two games?
I do.
It's going to be like but maybe even more depressing, because at least I think then the name Trent Richardson had an illusion that defenses had a respect. There is nobody on the ground game right now that defenses are concerned about.
Not even the illusion. When you lose the illusion.
That's what it is. Well, he has. He's lost impact. The illusion of impact. I mean, I think that's pretty clear that illusion of impact is long gone for Trent Richardson. And
that's a sad commentary. You know, I was feeling a lot better when I had my lunch.
Yeah.
You got in here and depressed me. Bobby in Brunswick.
And I'm the pom-pom guy.
And you are. That's the real scary part. Bobby, what do you got, man?
Hey, guys. I got to really commend you guys to be able to talk Browns football 5 days a week. I mean, that's got to be a real grind.
You know, thanks, Bobby, for the
compliment.
That's right. I think... Yes, there are some good things here, obviously, but go ahead.
There are. On the Josh Gordon note, I love his talent. You know, you can't teach height, you can't teach speed, you can't, you know, you can get the guy in the weight room to get size, but he's got great talent. But that guy is one crazy night away from being out of this league, and I think you got a, you know, if you've got a second round draft pick on the table, I think you got to pull the trigger on that. I know our offense would be decimated, you know, moving forward this season, but isn't that what the Browns are doing this year? We're all building for next year, and I think if you got the pick, you got to take it. On the Whedon front, I actually think this guy's regressing.
I agree.
I don't think it's talent wise. He's got so much stuff going on in his head now. Even in the perfect situation, if you got him more weapons, I don't even think he'd be able to perform, considering everything on the outside that's pressing down on him. You know, Chet talks about, you know, evaluating everyone and putting the best people in position to win. Kind of ironically, it's almost sacrilegious, but I got to think you got to give Tebow a chance. I have no idea why he is not on an NFL roster somewhere. The guy is a winner. He's won everywhere he's been. Whenever he's gotten a shot, he's won. Look what he did in Denver. He took over for Kyle Orton. That was an absolute mess. They end up going on a nice streak, getting into the playoffs, beating the Steelers on, you know, a fluke play. But the guy's a winner. I know his skill set wouldn't fit our playbook per se, but it would at least be exciting.
Well, it would
give me a reason to watch the game.
Yeah, Bobby, thank you. A lot of good salient stuff there. And let's, since you brought up Tebow, just to this extent, I'm totally against that idea, but I understand you explained it well. It would give you that curiosity thing. It would, and that's all it would be. It would be a little bit of a sideshow. It would be a little bit of a distraction. I don't think in any possible way does it bring meaningful help to the football team. And this he's a winner discussion, which is the label that he carries. He carries that label because you say that as the most backhanded of compliments, because he doesn't do it as a passer, as a thrower in the NFL.
It's exactly right. And I like, there is a lot to like about Tim Tebow, the guy. I know he's a very good teammate. I know that he did have that great magical season. Tebow Mania was running wild in Denver, and it was a good story. But multiple teams that could have used him, and I think if anybody could have figured out a way to utilize Tim Tebow's skills, it would have been Bill Belichick in the New England Patriots. They were willing to bring him in. They wanted him on the team. They loved him. But it just football-wise wasn't going to work out, and some things just don't work out. And it's unfortunate for Tim Tebow because I had a lot of fun being a fan of his and seeing what he did that year in Denver. It was awesome. I mean, how could you not get caught up in it? But I think that was kind of a lightning in a bottle, once in a lifetime type situation with Tim Tebow. It happened, and I think that isn't going to help the Browns. The Browns need to do, bring somebody in who fits their system. I think a lot of what is happening this year, it's an evaluation of the systems. Are these the right systems for our teams, first of all? And who is excelling in these systems that we're going to want to invest in long-term for the future? I think that's what a lot of these next 9 games are. That's not as fun as saying they're about getting to the playoffs, but I think if that happens to be a byproduct of the process, great. But if not, I think that's what a lot of these next 9 games are for this organization, because nobody gets to start over from a clean slate, but you want to do your best to at least mold it the way you want to. And with all the draft picks coming up, with some free agent money to be spent, let's not forget the Browns are well under the cap. The Browns are going to be able to bring in some impactful players. There's a chance that, you could plug, of the multitude of holes that the Browns had, plug a good chunk of them, and this team could be playoff ready next year coming into the season.
You brought up system, and that's going to be an interesting discussion as well, because you should fit players to what you do. What does this offense do? It takes shots. This offense is about the deep ball. This offense is about longer developing patterns. It's about larger athletic receivers on the perimeter, guys who are built just like Josh Gordon and just like Greg Little for that matter, but faster than Little, preferably, who make those big plays when a quarterback with the big arm and the ability to find these guys makes the throws. And that's the aggressiveness that you hear about with this offense, and that's what you're looking for. So not every quarterback fits that. You're looking for a very specific guy with a skill set. And as far as quarterbacks available out there, if there was that guy out there, I think he'd be in a Browns uniform by now. They would have found this guy a while ago. And no one that is, I think, cut any quarterback or made a quarterback available, 31 other teams, is done so because those guys have some value. Think about how quarterback desperate most teams in this league are. If you're an unemployed quarterback right now, you're not offering much of anything. So you're really at bottom barrel time, because it's a league that where quarterbacks are at such a premium, and it's, I think, for most teams that are quarterback starved and not dipping into the pool such as it is of available QBs, they're all saying, we're going to get our guy in the draft. We're going to just worry about this when it comes to the draft, and the Browns fall into that category too. But in the meantime, you do have a problem, and that is to figure out who gets you through these games. And I think there's going to even be kind of a balancing act. There should be a balancing act between the guy that is going to make those plays for you with his big arm, with his playmaking skill, and a guy who just gets you through, a guy who just doesn't screw it up. And I think that's the biggest problem that I have with Brandon Whedon, and that a lot of Brandon Whedon haters have. They see a guy who not only fails to make the plays, but they see a guy who just isn't delivering, isn't avoiding the disaster. And you got to negotiate that road too. And you've got to be able to do, Even if it's the safe thing sometimes, and I don't know, when he's back there patting the ball and holding it and looking at it and he's getting those precious seconds are ticking by that his line is giving him, what alternative is he not seeing? Because when you don't get to that next thing that just moves the chains or just keeps the thing rolling along and avoids the turnover, avoids the sack fumble, avoids the pick, avoids just the bad looking play, it's confounding. That's the part that everyone, I think, struggles with.
Yes, it is confounding. And, this is a team that has the highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL. And I believe in Norv's system. It has worked in many, many places for many, many years. So right now it's coming down on the quarterback. And I don't think that's unjustified. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do here, because the real question that pops into my head is this. You go and make the change this week, okay? Let's say Jason Campbell goes out and struggles mightily against Kansas City, as is very feasible, struggles with the Baltimore Ravens, who, by the way, are playing much better defense now than they were back when the Browns played them in week
no
number
doubt.
Two.
Yeah.
Where do you go then? Then where do you go?
I don't have an answer.
There isn't an answer. That's the problem. Yeah, and I think an right now for Browns fans, I think part of the problem is there aren't good answers.
That's the one that wakes you up in the middle of the night. That's
Brian
the
Hoyer
the nightmares.
Seemed to be a good answer. Would that magic have continued? Would that run have continued? We don't know that. And that's part of the good thing of the magic for Brian Hoyer, in a sense, yeah, that it never went sour.
It's the best place to be. It is what got guys like Matt Schaub big contracts, because they did their thing in a very limited amount. It's what got Kevin Cobb his money. It's what got Matt Flynn his money. You do a little, very little, give him a little sampling, and you left him wanting more. It's
like George Costanza, leave on a high note.
Show business phrase. All right, more calls. We will get to them, and we're going to get to Sal Palantonio at the top of the hour. It is Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.